Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. I thought that was a pretty good first hour. A lot of candid talk from Sean Miller. It was like, kind of like going to basketball church, and you leave the church and you think, man, I feel good about this team, or I feel better about leaving or coming to church. Don't you think?
I've never been to basketball church, but I can tell you, leaving church, yeah, I feel good. I've not heard a sermon like that, but I love the honesty. What I really appreciated was him saying, we want to be the best version of this team we can be, which is a nice, loving little disclaimer.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going, we want to be the best, in the Pac-12, or we want to do this. He's like, we want to be the best we can be. And it's like, okay, go get them, because there's only one or two of them doing it.
Mr. Bob, this is not his first rodeo.
No, sir. I like
so,
that.
So those he knows what answers. He's talking about. Typically, when he has a message to say, to let us know, the media, to kind of put through, he was just kind of unplugged. He went a lot of different ways with his questions that we asked. But there was, like I say, there was Bruce Pascoe, myself, Scott Bordeaux from The Athletic, and some of the other guys who typically are there, but they're the younger group who asked these questions. And it wasn't a big crowd today. There was Ari Alexander from Channel 4. He was very honest in a game that's pretty big. I can't remember the last time Arizona's been in this situation where they got to win more games now because the NCAA tournament's going to be looming and the possibility of not making it is going to happen. Maybe in 2011-ish, 10-ish, one of his first years when they eventually played in the NIT and they lost right away to Bucknell in the first round. That was kind of like a forgotten year.
Mm.
And
they don't have any pressure this year, do they?
No, they don't. Probably within themselves, but that's about it, because I think that eventually more people are being realistic about what's happening.
Yeah.
Like I told you yesterday, there's a lot of them who are overzealous and, what's going on, fire Miller, blah, blah, blah. They have no stake in the game. They have none, except outside of emotions. They're not, I guarantee you, those people who are tweeting and on Facebook aren't spending thousands of dollars to buy tickets.
Right, right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
You know why? Because those people who are spending thousands of dollars on tickets don't have time to Facebook and tweet.
Well, I think they're just trolls all over the place.
Oh, sure.
Trolls will be trolls.
And everyone says, well, we have the answer. You don't have the answer. There's no answer. This team is what it is. It's a team that's light on good talent, major talent, or talent that Arizona is used to over the years. It doesn't have very many good shooters, if any. Defense is what it is. It's trying, but it's not that good. There's a lot of deficiencies, of course.
Well, he took a Riverism. I heard him say, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I didn't hear that. I missed that. Maybe I say it so much I can't.
You probably just glossed
over.
Yeah,
you know.
I didn't hear him say every game is a season.
No.
Because he would have said, we've had a couple of really bad seasons.
Yes. In fact, I haven't heard too many. There's a couple of coaches that do say that every now and again. Maybe Coach K does. I think one of his books titled that.
I really liked his comment about Hurley and the facility up there and playing mm-hmm. there. And at the same time, he says, we still want to win.
Let me say,
that's great.
That place is going to be rocking because it's going to be about 70% ASU fans, maybe 30% U of A fans, maybe, because typically it's almost 50-50 or 60-40, very close to more U of A fans than ASU fans.
Why is it going to change?
Because ASU is pretty good, and they now that they know that they have a very good chance of beating U of A, they're going to go for blood. The fans love it because it doesn't happen very often. I mean, yeah. I've been here 30 years.
We've always spanked him pretty bad.
Yeah, it's kind of like everyone talks about Mikhail North. Well, it's been pretty much that.
Yeah.
Anthony Jimeno, in our book that we had a few years back, 100 Things, came up with a stat. And Anthony, if you're listening, you can call in and give me that stat. But Loot lost more games. I don't know what it is. He lost very infrequently to ASU. In the 25 years, maybe 4 or 5 times, I can't remember. It was an unbelievable number. You kind of think that's not right, but it's right. How successful Loot was up there and throughout the whole time. I think in 1995, if I'm correct, when Damon was a senior, Mario Bennett was a senior, and that's when ASU kind of dominated that year. But it's been very few years. Maybe when Ike Diagu was playing in 2008, 2009, ASU had a pretty good team. But, you know, it is what it is. It's 2:11 right now, and we have Coach Iannello on the phone. Coach, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. I wanted to talk to you real
Having
quick.
Me.
Talk to you about your golf team.
Yeah.
And tell awesome. Me, what a great year you had last year. What a great run you had. How does living up to that those expectations come this year?
Well, I always tell my ladies on my team, and this isn't just this past year, but I always said you're only as good as your last tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, you know, we have new goals, and we want to keep pushing to win it again this year because winning it last year was so amazing. So, again, just doing the daily grind, doing all the right things, working hard, and the results will take care of itself.
Sure, sure. I to say I'm only as good as my last haircut, and I need a new haircut. Hey, so tell me, were you able to enjoy, you know, coaches, they're always worried about the next day, blah, blah, blah. How long were you able to enjoy it?
I enjoyed it for about, you know, a month after we won. And but then I lost my beloved assistant to University of Oregon. He got the head coaching job there. And Coach D and I had worked together for 6 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, changing staff and not knowing if I was going to have everybody returning because of turning professional was a little bit frightening. But, I mean, I really did enjoy it, and I still am enjoying it to this day. But, you know, success normally brings change.
Yes.
And change in a good way, you know. So, like you said, new expectations. And losing part of my staff was really, really hard. But, again, that's helped me to grow and to continue just to keep developing as a coach.
How have the women taken from the championship? I mean, obviously you want them to be level-headed and you're as good as your last tournament, but there's some kind of maybe you want them to have a swagger but not that big of a swagger?
Yeah. I mean, even we talked about it today at Tucson Country Club. We were practicing and we did a little clinic for some of the members there, and just talking with the team and bringing up memories, you know, it's something they're going to have for the rest of their lives. No one can ever take that away from them. That week, they rose to the occasion and they are champions. And I always want them to remember that they, you know, they deserve that success because of their hard work and that one week of that glorious week. But more importantly, just to know that, you know, it's built their confidence. You can see it in their daily lives as they're national champions now. And again, they believe that because they knew they earned it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you were here. Were you here in 97? And I know you weren't as a coach, but in 97, Arizona's basketball team finished fifth in the league, and they were, you know, struggling in the Pac-10. They made it into the tournament, and then they went on this 3 week of a glorious run that got them the title. It's kind of similar to what you guys did. Do you kind of just prep them that every week is a different week, but you have to be prepared for what's ahead because you don't want them thinking, oh, we can just turn it on when we need to turn it on?
Yeah, and that's where last year, you know, I understand at the national championship, you know, we weren't ranked number one. But, you know, going into the national championship, we were still ranked ninth in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't this slumdog team that just kind of crept in there. We were really, really good. And we had won 3 times last spring. So we really were just, you know, I feel like we were ready for that national championship because even if we played well in a tournament or even if we won the tournament, the whole team still felt like we had something left and that we didn't perform perfectly. And so timing was critical. Then at the national championship, it just seemed like everything clicked and the ladies' games were sharp right when they needed to be, you know, just like that 97 basketball team.
Right. Let me, before we go to a break, and I hope you can stay with me a little longer,
sure.
Did life change? I know this is kind of like a hyperbole or whatever. Did life change for you at all?
Did life change? You know, I don't think it's changed for me. I just think people might recognize me a little bit more here and there and just say, oh, congratulations, coach, because of the TV coverage. But let's just be honest. I'm not Sean Miller here. I'm still not the face of the athletic department.
Hey, but let me tell you something. You did something that no one's done in a while. You've won a national title.
I know. But football and basketball, they're the big guns, and I respect that because they help programs like mine. So more than anything, what it does personally is we work so hard as coaches by giving to others, is that it validates, you know, what we do as coaches for others, and that what we are doing is working. And that's part of the puzzle. We spend a lot of personal time away from our own families to be with these teams that we also consider family. So it just makes that time away from our own families, makes it a little sweeter and a little bit more worth it.
Okay, great. We're talking to Coach Iannello here with the women's golf coach. We're going to go to break and come back and talk more about, we'll talk more about life, Coach. I know you have some ideas for me too. Thanks a bunch.
Okay.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
The 230 District, Fly Tucson First, American Diabetes Association, Heart Foundation, and Southern Arizona Junior Achievement. Plus Home Care, the Justice Department, Convicting the Innocent, a financial coach, health coach, and mental coach. They're everywhere. The future of marijuana legalization, the estrogen hour for women, and the new Fuchsia Spa. The homeless, news from the chamber, specialty segments for business, law, and cooking. It's a morning affair, current affairs, local news and interviews. It's your community. Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. till noon.
Mark Bishop.
In many countries around the world, medical care is scarce. From birth defects to serious injuries and illnesses, countless millions have no access to safe surgery. Mercy Ships is there to help, with a team of volunteer professionals, nurses, surgeons, utilizing state-of-the-art hospital ships. Mercy Ships provides free surgeries for the thousands of those who are waiting for surgery at each port.
Mercy Ships is bringing services to countries that would otherwise never be able to access those services.
We just see people that need help. You realize that they have no way of getting help, and I want them to know that they're loved.
Help make a lasting impact and turn someone's fear to joy. Find out how you can help by visiting our website at mercyships.org for more information. That's mercyships.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on news.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. We're in 1030 KBOI. Coach, sorry, I apologize. That's Bob. He put some of that music for me. Golf music. He likes to think he's cute or something. I'm not too sure.
So I like it.
Good. Okay. You got a vote. Good vote, Bob. Good.
I'll stay.
Proud of you. Hey, Coach. Your team's done very well so far, right? You must like what's going on.
This season so far.
Yes.
Yeah, we finished up the fall season, kind of preseason in November. And we actually kick off the spring season with our first event in Palos Verdes, California, on Friday we leave. So we won our last tournament of the fall, which was the Pac-12 preview, which was all the Pac-12 schools and Hawaii. You know, and anytime you can take away and beat every school in our conference, which, you know, most of the teams in our conference are ranked in the top 15 in the country. I think we were like the sixth seed and we were ranked ninth. So, you know, it's a very competitive conference, and that was our way to finish the fall. But we have a solid group of young women.
Yeah, no question. I think you played, is it this weekend or next weekend already you start the season?
Friday we leave.
Friday, mm-hmm. You leave right to California. I didn't know you needed an assistant. I could have tried out for that team. I need to go on your trips, Vegas, California, Hawaii. Next time.
Mexico.
Habla español. I'll help you translate. It would have been a lot of fun. So who are you hoping for, coming into the season, including the fall, what were you hoping for from the women, psychologically in terms of, just being ready for a year, everyone's going to have the bullseye on your back, stuff like that?
Yeah. I want I wanted to see that the team was still hungry, mm-hmm. you know, because I think after you have won a national championship and let's say you have the entire team returning, sometimes they come back not as hungry because they've already won or they've already eaten dinner. Mm-hmm. And that happened to ASU last year. You know, they had won the previous year before that and they had pretty much the same team last year and they kind of fumbled at the end. So I want to make sure everybody's hungry. We have everybody returning from our national championship except for one player who did decide to turn pro. And I just want to make sure that they're continuing to get better because these young women all aspire to play professional golf and they're great collegiate players, but not all of them are ready to go for the tour when they graduate. So it's my responsibility to make sure they're still developing their skills.
Right. How do you do that? You know, I'm not a golfer. I want to say I'm not a good golfer. I'm not a golfer at all. But it's repetition, motor mechanics. How do you get these women to become better players? It's just consistent play? What is it?
Well, that's just the difference between, you know, we have five women on a team that compete and, you know, my seniors, most of the time it's going to.
We may have lost you. Are you there? Ready. Oh, we're losing you. Are you like in a tunnel? Are you there? Coach, are you there?
A friend for every. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. You were breaking up there. Once you said ASU fumbled, the mics went dead. I'm not sure why.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
And a sand trap.
Sorry. Okay, yeah, sand trap. But no, as you asked about.
Getting better. Getting better and just this. Right, go ahead.
Yeah. It's every player is different. So much of it is helping with mechanics, technique. If it's in their short game, putting, wedges, distance control, where sometimes others, it's mental. Mm-hmm. You know, my seniors always seem to struggle with that next step of turning professional and thinking that they're prepared for the LPGA.
Yeah.
So it's different for every player that I have. They all have different avenues that we need to continue to improve on.
That's very funny, but I get it because I've covered Arizona basketball for, you know, almost 30 years now, and you see it as the kids get older, junior, senior, and they think they might be ready for the pros and they want to talk about it and all that. It affects their psychological because they think they're ready and they're not. That leaks into their game. And so I get it for you guys. You still have to guard against that.
Because there's so much pressure, you know, as a young female, mm-hmm. because the money's not there right away. You know, they're not signing million-dollar contracts with the Bulls or the Suns. Mm-hmm. They are going out and maybe on mom and dad's dime, chasing this dream, chasing this career of professional golf. And that's a lot of pressure on a young person.
Yeah, no question. I never thought of that, but that's exactly, you're on the money with that. Good to know. Anybody that of your five golfers, what are you hoping for from maybe each individual?
Well, we have our star Haley Moore, who made our winning putt for us this last mm-hmm. year, and you know, my goal for Haley this year is for her to be ready to go for LPGA Q school this August after she graduates, and just to build her confidence and let her know. You know, get her to believe how much of a star she is, to her to believe it, you know. And then we got Bianca Pagdanganan, who is also a senior this year, who made the eagle putt for us to get into the playoff at the national championship. And Bianca, the same, to calm those fears of turning professional, the family pressures, but yet continuing to keep evaluating and improving on her game and the areas that she needs it. And Yu Sung Ho, Ya Chun Chang, both my players from Taiwan. Again, just get them more comfortable being in the United States. Mm-hmm. That's a huge task.
Yes.
They're so far from home and speaking the language and continuing to, they both want to play professional as well. And then I've got Sandra Nordås from Norway and brilliant young woman, you know, has a 3.8 GPA, finance major, and is just a star, but you can see she wants to excel in everything. And I try to do it all. I am like mom, coach mom, they call me. It's because I want them to do well in everything, if it's school or if it's getting ready to turn pro or if it's our next tournament in L.A. You know, that's That's my job.
It's nice that you say that, Coach Mom. And I say that because, and I'll say this with respect because I covered Lute for a long time. And in one of my books, one of or two of his players said, it was like playing for their grandfather, and you know, he was obviously a good coach, is a good coach, and you, what you don't want to do when you're on the court is disappoint your grandfather. Do you get that sense when they're on the course that they don't want to disappoint you?
You know, I do feel that. Very, very close with my young ladies on the team, and not that I'm not that old where I can be their mom, but I want them to respect me as if I was their mother. But more so, I think they know how much time and that Coach Justin and I work with them, and how much we spend time with them away from our own families. And so I think the fact that they respect that, and they know we have a family, and they see us with our families, and they don't want to disappoint us because they want to do the right thing. These young women, you know, most people in this world, they want to do the right thing. But it is, it's a hard, I'm always emotional. So it's like, if they accomplish something, I'm so proud of them, I get emotional. And, if I'm disappointed in them,
yes,
I'm stern with them and I let them know that they messed up. And I know they get upset when they disappoint me, for sure.
Yeah. No question. What did you get your degree in?
I actually got my degree in secondary education here at the U of A.
So it probably helps a little. I was going to say, did you get it in psychology? Because you have to kind of reach into those depths and kind of figure these women out.
You know, I actually have thought about going back to get my master's in psychology, because being a golf coach has nothing to do with fixing a grip or alignment.
Right. That's where I wanted to go with it.
It's dealing with mom and dad and boyfriends and team members and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I had such a great experience myself playing on the U of A women's golf team, and I had a wonderful coach, Greg Allen, at the time. And I learned a lot from him, and we had a lot of drama when I was on the team with teammates and boyfriends and all that garbage that messes these young women's lives. And so I do my best to give good advice when asked, and you know, and just be a part of their lives, not too nosy. I don't like to be that nosy coach where I don't want to know that they're at the club on Friday night or this, but I take investment. I like to get to know their boyfriends because I want to know what type of young men are dating my players, and just little stuff like that goes a long way, because like, you know, you don't want to bring a boyfriend home that mom wouldn't like. So.
Sure. Sure. No, I get it. It's kind of like the story behind the story. You have a bad day the next game, and you know, the game or whatever, match the next day, and you wonder why. Well, she's always been good. There's other things that a lot of noise on the outside that affects how you play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But that's in everyone's lives. You know, it's in my marriage. You know, that's one thing I make sure that I listen to inspirational talk radio on the way to practice every day. I make sure that no matter what, my team sees a consistent coach. It doesn't matter if I'm in a fight with my husband or if my 4-year-old sick with the flu. Like, no matter what, my team knows that the coach they're going to get every day. They're not going to get grouchy coach one day, then happy coach the next. I'm consistent, and I make sure that they know I'm there for them at all times. And you know, I think that's so important in life, is to show up to work every day and give it your all, be your best, don't make excuses, because life is hard for everybody.
Right. See, I knew we'd talk about life. Thank you. I feel much better. Earlier, Sean Miller had his press conference. He was very forthright, and now I got the good stuff from Coach Iannello. I'm good for the day. Thank you. Hey, thanks for coming on, Coach. We can have you on maybe in a month or so. Let's see how you guys are progressing.
I'd love that. Would love that.
Okay. I need more therapy, so you better come back.
Now you're making me really want to study psychology.
Well, it's not just the women's golf team, it's Steve Rivera Hour. Thank you. Good to talk to you, Coach. I appreciate coming on.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, Bob, that was a lot of fun. We're going to go take a break here and come back on the other side, finish talking about some basketball, maybe even some golf. If you people want to call in, 790-2040. Give me some tips on this basketball team.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. No more knowledgeable woman than Dawn English and her irresistible Tucson, food and culture in the Old Pueblo. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on KVOI, AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy! Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit adoptuskids.org/AZ. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. That was a lot of fun.
Nice gal.
Yeah, no, she's very happy. She's a cool coach. And she's not a mom. She's a young woman who's trying to navigate these women to play well and to win another title.
She's quite the player.
Yeah, she was back in the day. Yeah.
And then the LPGA, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew that.
Now coaching.
Well, coaching you, certainly.
I want to learn. Do you know how to play golf?
I used to MC a golf tournament. Do I play?
No. Do you know how to play?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take your thumb.
No. Are you any good now? I'll ask the question.
Me and my wife would always kid around, and we have this... The one piece of whatever you take out of the bag, it says 5 on it. So we'd call it our putter driver.
Putter driver, okay.
We'd just use it for everything because I couldn't use a real wood, you know.
Yeah, those are tough. I played maybe 20 times in my life.
That sounds about right.
I can't hit the ball very far. When I'm kind of gone, I hit it straight maybe. The desert is not kind to me. I don't like seeing snakes, so I don't go in there.
And if you don't practice, it can be very frustrating.
And that's where I'm at. But I watch all this stuff on videos, and I'm thinking, I can do that. I know I can do that.
Yeah.
And guess what? I can't do that.
You know, I'll tell you what you should do. Drive the beer cart. That's a lot of fun.
Yes, that's true.
Serving drunks at 9:30 in the morning.
I tell people I can drive the heck out of a cart.
Just not a ball.
But you know what the sad thing is, I'm sure every golfer goes through, I hit a good ball and say, oh, this is good.
You bet.
I'm going to come back and do it again. And I do it again, and it's... four into a house.
Out to the side.
Into the house.
I know, because you're like, what did I do right the last time? I can't do it again.
Right. And you have like 18, 4. You got about 75, about 100 and some strokes. I'm thinking, how many strokes did I take? About 125. 125 chances I might have 4 good strokes.
I always tell the guys when I'm playing, I said, I need like this gigantic monkey in front of the hole moving his arms. Then I think I could hit it better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The monkey or the little, the
windmill.
The windmill,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody want to call, just give me a buzz, 790-2040. We can talk sports gibberish as we have the King Bob on here and me being the second king of it. But we could talk about Arizona basketball. Are they going to win on Thursday? Are they going to get crushed on Thursday? Someone jokingly gave me 20 points. I'm not sure I'll take 20 points for Thursday night.
Really?
Who knows? If they played as badly as they played last weekend, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty because...
I'd take that.
I'm wondering, this is possible, okay. Although they'll get fined $25,000. If Arizona State crushes Arizona, will they storm the court?
$25,000?
Yeah. There's a new, not new, it's been in the books for a while now, that if teams storm the court, they get fined that much for storming the court.
$2 a spectator. That's not too bad.
Yeah, but
I just give it to him at the door at the start of the game.
Yeah, we're going
to
do this. Here's your $2.
Well, I mean, certainly at Arizona, I mean, that'd be fun.
It's like a quarter of a beer, isn't it? How much are beers there? About $8, $10? $2. Just to storm the court?
I know the sodas are $5 or $6.
I'll quietly just walk out of the arena.
So every time at Duke and Kansas, and they storm out that I've seen on TV?
In the Pac-12. Well, I'm sure other conferences have something. Maybe not, but let me tell you.
What's the reasoning? I'm sorry.
I'll tell you.
Please do.
A few years ago, I want to say maybe 4 or 5, you know how time flies and my memory serves.
See.
When Arizona was getting beat, very rarely with Arizona's very good teams, teams on the road were storming the court, and it was making it very dangerous for Arizona to get off the court. So it was kind of like the Sean Miller rule. They complained, obviously. There was people getting, I don't know if anybody being punched, but you could see it on other courts. They said it's getting kind of dangerous, tough to get to the locker room after the game. So now the Pac-12 has instituted that rule where if you storm the court.
Because of Arizona?
They started the whole deal, yes. Because no one else is storming the court against Stanford. They're not storming the court against ASU. I'm not being funny. Yeah, they're not storming the court against Washington. They're storming the court because they beat Arizona.
I get it. Yeah, you would need fans.
You would need fans.
Actually, at the game to storm.
Correct.
And you can't storm with a walker. I'm there, my friend.
Yeah. So that's why they kind of instituted. And it hasn't happened a whole lot because, you know, if you beat Arizona now.
You're not going to storm the court.
But I think ASU could because it's a big deal. And to them, it's a big deal. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Not this week.
We'll see, because I think it's going to be pretty crazy.
I'll take the 20 points and the $25,000 if they storm the court. I don't think that'll happen, and I'll still take the 20 points, though, whoever your friend is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that one friend.
$5.
Well, points?
Well, I got to already pay the $25,000.
Would you take 10?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I want more.
Because you think ASU would beat them by more than 10?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
That's why I threw the 10 out there.
I think when they get above 10,
they're in trouble.
I think Hurley will be put in some second, third stringers if they got a nice little gap there. And I think the Arizona boys are going to – I still have faith in this team.
Yeah, as you should. You're one of those.
But I still want my 20 points.
No. You ain't getting 20 points from me, sir.
As Steve Rivera, another Riveraism. I'm serious here.
Yes.
I'm being serious.
I'm being serious because sometimes people think I joke too much. But you know what? You're kind of like one of those fans who will stick by this team or any team till the day.
It would take a lot for me to walk. I mean, I'll turn the channel. I'm not gonna ever bash. I just won't. I don't even think I said a bad word against Lindsay. I mean, I was a much younger man.
You didn't know any bad words back then?
No, I just didn't say any is what I'm saying. I just didn't say any against Lindsay.
There wasn't anything to say. They were just horrible.
Right.
The worst.
But I mean, I've never called for a coach to be let go or any. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
These guys are still kids too playing. Give them a break.
Right.
I've employed a lot of young guys like that.
Yeah.
And I love what this golf coach was talking about, you know, that she gets involved in their lives and their boyfriends. I mean, she's right there.
Right. You know how important that is? Because
I don't know, Steve. Tell me how important their love life is.
No. I'm talking about just their outside curricular.
Personal life.
Yeah. Because it does affect what happens on the court emotionally. What people don't understand in sports is it's more than the score. It's more than what's going on the field or the court or whatever, because it's all the things that go on in the heads of the 18, 19, 20-year-old person.
And certainly that was you got to attribute that to Muhammad Ali's career. I mean, he just really got in the minds of all of his opponents, and he was constantly, him and Cosell, I know you probably can't remember.
I do.
I'm the greatest, and I'm going to do this. I mean, never negative or, you know, like, what a bummer, man. Even when Fraser beat him,
Yeah, no, but he got into people's heads big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, back in 66, I think it was, Liston was afraid to fight him because he said, this guy's crazy. This guy's crazy.
He could bite my ear off, yeah.
Yeah. No, that was somebody
else. Another era.
That was another, yeah. Yeah, your arrows are messed up.
I'm just saying when you're that afraid of a boxer. But no, I think you've done a really good point at making that clear on your show. Just the psychology of the game and your questions towards the coach and certainly the team. It was great to hear. He said the team had a great practice.
Because
I'm thinking that would be. I was on last place team. On my little league, and it was horrible.
Oh yeah, sure.
You just sulked off the field and back on the next day.
Totally. It's like going to a job that you hate and you don't want to be there, and you play like here I am again, blah blah blah. Yeah. I got to go through the motions, and then we play Saturday. We're gonna get beat, whatever. Yeah, those days. I've never been on one of those.
Either have I. I've never had a job that I've hated.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about team. Jobs, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Out the air.
Why don't we talk about marriage instead of old jobs? Well, I'm glad you've never been on a bad team. I forgot what you said you played, by the way.
I played baseball.
That's right.
I played baseball.
What was your batting average, Smart Alec?
About 400 and some. 400 and some.
Hey.
Yeah, I was a leadoff hitter.
And where? This was in New Mexico?
New Mexico, yes. Yes. It was fun. The good old days.
You didn't go by Steve. You went by, like, Big Stevie or something back then, didn't you?
No, I went by something else.
You can't say?
I could say, but it doesn't
it's
really
silly?
Matter. It doesn't really matter. Well, I could say my nickname is Flacco, F-L-A-C-O.
What does that mean?
Skinny. I was very skinny. I was like the number two pencil.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Flacco. Now I'm like a number stubby pencil.
Huh.
Yeah, so but when I go back home, people call me Flacco because they don't know my real name.
Flacco Huero.
Flacco Huero, yes. Yes, I'm a Huero. Yes, like the kids are.
Huero Flacco.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but that's how they called me. And I was a skinny kid and a kind of fast kid, quick kid, so.
You filled out as the years went on a little bit. Yeah. I don't mean you.
You sound like my doctor.
Sorry. Or your ex.
Yes. Sorry to say. Hey, let's go take a break and get rid of this gibberish and come back for our final hour. Hopefully, maybe some people will call in and talk about this basketball team with us.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, the John C. Scott Political Forum.
The John C. Scott Show, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and we're here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're almost finishing the day's work. It's been a lot of fun. Sean Miller on unmiked. he dropped the mic a few times. That was good. He was good. Coach Ayanel, the women's golf coach. And then we had Alyssa Palomino from the softball team. I think we're going to have some more softball players down the road as they begin to get prepared for what they hope is the trip to the World Series, College World Series, someplace they hadn't been in more than 8 years, I think. Mike Kendrian needs to get back.
He
used to own that place.
Sure did.
So we'll see what happens.
They will probably eventually name that thing, like the...
Yes?
The
field?
No, I think they'll name the award they give the best team every year. Another 50 years, they'll call it the Kendrea.
The Kendrea? Oh, I see. Like the Oscars or something?
Like the football, the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, Lombardi Trophy.
Right?
Yeah, okay. I get it.
All right.
I get it. That's
all I got for you.
I'll petition that at the next meeting.
Yeah, or, you know, they could call it the, you know, instead of winning the Candrea, they could call it El Flaco.
Have some number two pencil. Here. That's what they did, you know. And a player to be named later.
Yeah. Coach, yeah. How do you feel now that you've got two Flacos under your belt?
Yeah, I feel a little heavier. Thank you very much. So, I assume you're going to watch it Thursday night if you can find it on TV.
Yes.
I know Pancho's concerned about you finding it on TV.
I'm hoping he's going to call in tomorrow and give me some directions. That's on Pac-12 or Fox?
I don't know.
I'll figure it out.
It's too early for me to know.
I will give it a shot. I'll even, you know, I think we're going to have dinner with Dad, Bill, Father, or whatever you want to call
him.
And
have you talked to him since the disaster of the weekend?
I've been afraid to. I really just been afraid to, because, like I said, now that he's 91, whereas before we'd have a conversation, now he gives you one of those, kind of waves you off like walking across the lawn, you know, right?
Kind of like when you were 12, I'm tired of you, get away from me.
Yeah, talk to your mother.
You disappointed me. Disappointed me.
Yeah, because I know he's got four novels next to his recliner, and whereas I'm clicking to find something else, the game. He just brings the volume down a little, not that he needs to. Probably turns down his hearing aid and picks up his novel.
Right. Sorry to say that, Jeter hasn't played. He didn't play yesterday in practice. I'm not sure what he's doing today or tomorrow because we won't know. But this is kind of similar to what happened to Lauren Woods back in the day in like 2000. He had the Valley Fever. His back was affected by it. He didn't play for most of the second half of the season. And Arizona was still the number one team in the country, the number one seed in the country. They lost in the second round to Wisconsin with Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton, Jason Gardner, and those guys, Ricky Anderson. So we'll see. To me, it's hard to say whether he'll be back or not this week. And it could be iffy every week because, you know, maybe you don't know, when you're 7 foot and you're thin and you're Flacco.
Yeah.
Your backs are trouble. I'm having a back issue right now.
Not only that, but what is it really worth the risk? Your team is already floundering. Why are you going to risk your back to come back? If they were Kansas or Duke or right, then sure.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I couldn't know what the no is, but that was kind of broached to him today. Is it just a precautionary thing? They're leaving it up to him.
Right.
Whether he's ready to go or not.
And it seemed to me like an interesting answer because it is an interesting answer. I know he's got to be responsible, but wouldn't he, you know, come on, boy. I mean, that's what my dad would say when I worked for my dad. You'll be all right. Your bone's not sticking out. I know there's NCAA rules and all that. He's got to be a good coach. But, I mean, you know, you've got a trainer there that's saying, hey, coach, x-rays don't show anything. CT scan doesn't show anything. He's sore, but, you know, we could ice him up, tape him up, think he'll be okay. I just said the answer seemed kind of like, I don't know, like, you know, we'll let him make the call.
I think that's just the case the way it is these days.
And why risk it is what I mean.
Why risk it? True. And it's up to him. If you were in the situation, you'd do the same thing. No, I'm not ready to go.
Absolutely.
I'm not comfortable. Whatever. There's a risk of another injury or a worse injury.
Just like we were talking about concussions, you know, you're after that second one. So the kid hurts his back. You and I don't know. They're not going to tell us how bad it is. And if he's in pain, if I'm him, I'm like, hey, I love you guys.
Right. Well, if you noticed in football this year under Sumlin, we very rarely knew about injuries on the players. Mm. And there's a privacy issue with that, where if you get hurt, like in practice or whatever, and you're just not available, they don't have to tell you what went on, what's going on. They kind of say, well, you know, because we don't want to tell you because gamblers listen. That's a bunch of crap. It's just FERPA stuff, privacy rights, privacy issues, that they don't want you to know. But if you see the guy and you're playing on a Saturday night and he breaks his leg and he's carted off the field, you can ask what's going on. They don't have to tell you. They just don't. But, you know, transparency, it still kind of exists in certain areas. That would be the best thing to do. It doesn't happen all the time. But in this case, we know that he got hurt. He fell down. He hurt his back. He has back issues from the previous place he was at. And here we are. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not going to play this weekend. And we'll see. I think it'll be an ongoing type of thing.
And, you know, to rethink that, I think, I wouldn't blame him, but I think Jeter's probably a better man than I. And if he thought he could come back and play without, you know,
sure,
a future injury, he would be back in a moment to try to help his team.
Sure. You know. Sure, sure, sure. And he's a very bright guy, too.
Yeah.
Very bright guy, sensible. But the last thing you want to do is come back too early and then aggravate it even more.
And then not even be able to help out in the tournament.
Right, the rest
Pac-12,
of the way.
Pac-12, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we'll see. The one question I wanted to ask Sean and I didn't was about Brandon Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Randolph.
Okay.
Because he's kind of been invisible the last few weeks. He can't hit a shot. He hasn't been playing well. He's the team's leading scorer. He's kind of in and out, very inconsistent. He's thankfully for Sean, and he said this today, Brandon Williams has been very good, and what would have been the case had he not shown up here this season? Because there was a chance that he was not going to come here after decommitting last year. But Brandon Randolph has been very inconsistent, even though he's still the team's leading scorer. Wow, they need him to play better. They need everybody to play better. I think you remember yesterday I had Matt Moreno on, and I talked to him about each individual player, and he said, you know, positive, negative, and there were a lot of negatives on this team.
Yeah, yeah.
Very few positives.
What was the phrase that the coach used for Brandon, a shining star?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And he has been. He's going to be playing a lot next year with the new group. They're going to be small again. Depends what happens with Jeter in the middle. And Ira Lee will be available, obviously, as well. So they're going to be a lot better next year. There's also another thing. So will other teams.
Yeah, I know.
So will other teams. So, okay, you're better, but you have to play other teams that are going to get better too.
And they're not Arizona.
Okay.
They don't have Miller. They don't have us cheering them on and giggling occasionally.
Right, right, right. We'll see. I'm curious to see what the attendance is going to be Thursday because, like I've said before, especially this hour, that U of A fans travel well to Phoenix. There's a lot of alums up there that go to the game. It's usually about 50-50 in terms of attendance for U of A and ASU. I bet you there's going to be a lot more ASU fans now than ever, and U of A fans are probably going to say, I don't want to make that drive.
Do you mean more ASU fans or less U of A fans or both?
Both. Probably both.
Okay.
Because
Fans are going to stay home?
Yes, because, you know, why go and see the possibility of getting crushed?
A $25,000 fine. why take that $2 chance?
Right? Well, it's not U of A fans. That'd be ASU fans.
Right. But if they got to charge everybody that goes in the door, so they charge the home.
Yeah, it's a prepay for the...
That's what I'm coming up with, but I'll have to talk with my attorneys and get back to you on that and your ex.
It's going to be weird to see. I remember one of the best games I saw up there by Arizona, and Lute was still there. Mm. I can't remember the year. It had to be maybe 2006-ish when Arizona's in the front, right?
Okay.
Here on the left side, as we look, we sit behind the team about 25 rows up. To my left are the UA students or the ASU students doing what they do, yelling and screaming, as every student body does. And Arizona was killing them by 20, whatever it was. And Lute was getting blitzed with, you know, every word in the book by the kids. And Lute looked up at the score, pointed to the scoreboard and said, just shut up. Look what we got you by.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't say anything, but he looked up and looked at the score and had his arms folded. And, man, the kids went berserk. Berserk because, you know, here one, you had Lute acknowledging that you were getting at him.
And that's not the kind of guy you normally are. That's right.
But he was owning you. He was owning you. That was probably some of the best moments I've been a part of in this thing.
I get goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah. It was very funny.
Wasn't that in your book?
Yeah, it was in my book. And the picture of him pointing to the scoreboard.
Somebody clicked that.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody
I forgot about the photo.
That was fantastic because he rarely did that. And he said, yeah, shut up, guys. Look, I got you by 20. Shut up.
Just irked him.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess Anthony wasn't listening today, But he would have that stat with ASU. Like I said, Lute rarely lost up there. And Sean has kind of been indifferent with these guys. They've won some, they've lost some. They've been very good teams up there, U of A had, and they've still lost some games up there, which is very surprising. But I think this game should be fun to watch if you're into entertainment, fast type of paced games, because ASU is fun to watch. U of A can be at times, but I think they're going to have to try to slow it down a little just to survive, just to survive. And if Randolph hits some shots, if Jeter comes back, if holy moly, there's a lot of ifs there.
Wow, if I was saying all that, you'd be going, yeah, Bob, a lot of ifs there.
But it's
man-to-man, right? They play man-to-man defense, so that helps.
I think so, yes.
Maybe.
It helps.
Theory.
The only bad thing is it's on the road. You're in a stretch where you've lost three or four. It's kind of like, how's the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Oh, that's horrible.
It's not going to be good.
That's painful.
I'm going to talk to some more people from Phoenix talking about the big game on Thursday. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It was a good show. I had a fun show today with Sean Miller, Coach Iannello of the women's golf team, and Alyssa Palomino of the softball team. Talk to you tomorrow.